Good morning. My name is Greg Frank. I'm the hearings officer for hearing the case before us this morning, which is case number 212-0015. This is a case based on the complaint on the city code violation of the City of Portland as the petitioner and Janice Swanson as the respondent. What I'd like to do is I'd like to start on this side and have you identify yourself, please. First name, last name. Do it slowly. First name, last name. Spell your last name and give us your address, please.
Okay. Stephen Kass, S-T-E-V-E-N, K-A-S-S, 1900 Southwest 4th Avenue, Suite 5000, Portland, Oregon, 97201.
Ma'am, lean into the microphone, please.
Janice Swanson, J-A-N-I-C-E. S-W-A-N-S-O-N, 3393 Southeast Francis, Portland, Oregon, 97202.
And sir, are you going to be speaking today?
I don't know.
If you don't know, then we'll hold off at this point in time because you're not, I only have one person named as a respondent, and that's okay. Ms. Swanson. So, but if she calls you as a witness or Mr. Kass calls you as a witness, you'll certainly have a right to tell us what you'd like to tell us. All right, let me start off with a couple preliminaries and then I will probably stay out of it for the most part. Yes, sir.
It may be useful if I just step in and say, I believe Ms. Swanson and I have come to agreement. We have a stipulated agreement. I think Ms. Swanson has one issue that she disagrees with in that stipulated agreement. So, but otherwise, I think we have agreement on a remedy for these violations. So,
all right. Let me complete my opening comments, then we'll go there. My name is Greg Frank. I am a hearings officer employed by the Auditor's Office of the City of Portland. I don't work for the Bureau of Development Service, who Mr. Kass works for. What I usually say is, quite candidly, I don't care who wins or loses. It's irrelevant to me. I need to take in consideration the relevant laws and rules. Take into consideration the relevant law or the facts in the case and render a decision based on those two things. That's what I'm here for. I don't know, Mr. Kass has presented some cases in the past, but I don't believe I'm biased by that fact, and I don't know either one of you, so I'm not biased by that fact, so I believe I can make a decision in this case. Let me just, why don't you tell me, Ms. Swanson, what it is that you either agree or disagree with, just in a very short way. What Mr. Kass indicates you have an agreement. He indicated there's something you didn't agree with. Just give me sort of a highlight of what that might be that you disagree with.
Well, he said that there's a penalty of $1,200. I'd rather use that $1,200 to fix the repairs on my house than pay it to the city.
Okay.
I only make $800 a month, and I think the money would go better be spent wisely on the repairs.
Okay, that helps me. All right, what I'd like you to do is, I think you have a package of information sitting in the front left of you. Would you open that up? Mr. Kass, would you make sure she's looking at the complaint, please?
Did you bring your hearing packet?
No.
No.
Okay, then you can sit right next to her, if you will, please.
I didn't know I needed it.
Stuff here.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry. All right, what I'd ask Mr. Kass to do is point out, and so they can look at the same time, the complaint, which on our exhibit numbers is exhibit number one. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down those based on Mr. Kass's comment and Ms. Swanson, your comment. And I want to go down and just make sure, have you, Ms. Swanson, taken a look at that document?
Briefly, yeah.
Okay. Let's take a look at paragraph one. Is that the correct address, the 3393 Southeast Francis?
Yes.
All right. Paragraph 2 indicates that there's a number of violations. So, Mr. Cass, I'd like you to turn to Exhibit 2, which is Attachment A.
So our challenge here, Mr. Frank, is that the Attachment A list has changed. I have an updated list.
Okay. Then if you want to submit that as an exhibit, that's fine. I just need something to work from.
Okay. Can I?
You may set it on the.
And Ms. Swanson.
We'll make copies of that. Just okay. Set it on the flat surface over there to your right. Not there, on over there. There you go. We'll make a copy of that, and what we'll do is we'll come back. Ms. Swanson, what I'm going to do, and Mr. Cass, what I'm going to do is I'm going to run down those because there appears to be an agreement, and I just want to make sure that you've had an opportunity to look at this so that you have an understanding, because what I don't want is to have disagreements after we leave here that I didn't anticipate and force you to come back down again and we go through this all over again.
Yeah, and I apologize. I had to do this early this morning. And so I would say that the city would move to replace this complaint with a stipulated agreement is what we'd like to do. So I'd like to provide a copy of the stipulated agreement because I think that's what Ms. Swanson's really agreeing to.
Okay, what we don't have is an agreement. I just want to make sure that I have confirmation from Ms. Swanson that she agrees or disagrees that the violations that are set forth here in fact do exist or don't exist. I don't want any question in my mind when I leave here, and I don't want any question in anyone else's mind when we leave here that we know which violations exist or don't exist. I am not disputing that you have a stipulated agreement. You can that you may submit that. But having done this long enough now that stipulated agreements tend to become unstipulated agreements for the oddest reasons. And what I'm going to do is make sure that we have a clear understanding of what the violations are. If you'll look at the lower right-hand corner, and don't cover that up, Ms. Swanson, because that's what I'm going to have you look at. No, that's the document that you just were handed.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you have that too? Okay, good. I didn't know that. I want to make sure that we have the one that says exterior on the upper left, pretty much says list of violations and then exterior. That's Exhibit 21. That's the one that we just made a copy of, and that's the one you covered up.
Okay.
There it goes. If you use the one that was copied, that's Exhibit 21. That way I know that everybody's looking at the same document.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, look at this. So, Exhibit 21. So, okay.
All right. Mr. Cass, do me a favor and just run down those really Reader's Digest approach to this, but
okay.
Run down the violations. Ms. Swanson, this is sort of like you get to raise your hand when you disagree. So if you don't think that something exists, you just raise your hand and then we'll talk about it, right?
Okay. Violation 1, trash and debris accumulated on the exterior of the property. Violation 2, portions of gutters and downspouts are damaged, deteriorated, and are missing. Violation 3, numerous window panes are broken and are missing. Violation 4, front porch over 30 inches from grade has been constructed without obtaining required permits and inspections, decks and porches. That's violation 4. Violation 5, electrical light fixture in the front porch is damaged. Violation 6, portions of kitchen flooring are damaged. Violation 7, the city is rescinded. Violation 8, the city is rescinded. Violation 9, dwelling unit shows evidence of cockroach and or mouse infestation. Violation 10, garbage disposal circuit has been installed without obtaining required permits and inspections. Violation 11 is corrected. Violation 12, sleeping areas lack protection by an operable smoke detector. Violation 13, oil furnace is inoperable. Violation 14, portable heaters are in use. Violation 15, numerous electrical outlet switches lack cover plates. Violation 16, bedroom emergency egress windows cannot be opened and or lacks hardware capable of holding them open. Violation 17 is corrected. Violation 18, bathtub surrounds not adequately sealed at the wall. Violation 19 and 20 are corrected. Violation 21, portions of rear exterior door hinge and jamb are damaged, deteriorated, or missing. Violation 22, in the basement. Basement stairs lack the required safety handrail. Violation 23, basements being occupied as an unapproved habitable space. Violation 24, plumbing in the basement has been performed without obtaining required permits and inspections, and this includes installation of a water heater, installation of a new drain for the kitchen sink, and open sewer lines. Violation 25, numerous circuits in the basement have been installed, extended without permits. Violation 26 is rescinded. Violation 27, attic stairs lack an approved safety handrail. Violation 28 and 29 are corrected. Violation 30, southeast bedroom outlet shows evidence of scorching. 31, peeling paint on the ceiling of southeast and northeast bedrooms. Violation 32, safety guardrail between the attic hallway and stairs is not adequately secured. Violation 33, the electric control panel has open circuit breaker spaces. Violation 34, the pressure relief valve on the water heater has been reduced to half inch. 35, attic window is missing and secured with a tarp. 36, clothes washer discharging gray water into the yard. 37, sink missing in main floor bathroom. 38, kitchen and stairwell walls lack paint. Violation, this is additional exterior nuisance conditions. 39, vehicle and bike parts, including pickup chassis, pickup bed, and bike tires are being stored in rear yard. Violation 40, auto tires are being stored in rear yard in an uncovered area. 41, accumulations of plastic buckets. 42, leaves and branches have accumulated on the driveway.
All right, Ms. Swanson, I didn't see you raise your hand on any of those.
I apologize.
Okay. So it's my understanding that those violations do now exist,
mm-hmm.
correct? Okay,
yes.
And you have to speak into the microphone.
Sorry,
this is a
yes.
recording. Let me explain. This is a recorded hearing, and if you have access to the internet in any way, shape, or form, you're going to be able to listen to this hearing again and again and again if you wish, but at least one time. So everything we say has to be said directly into a microphone. That's why I'm sort of pushy about that. I want everyone says today to be on the recording, and I want it clear. Okay, so
okay.
Nodding and speaking into hands and that kind of stuff just makes it difficult to be clear. And I'm not trying to be critical. I want you to be able to hear what's said, and that's the main reason. If you wish to listen to the recording, there are some cards back on the little table where you walked in. It has our web address. And if you go to our web address and go to hearing recordings, you'll be able to pull up your recording if you put in your case number. And your case number is all over the stuff that we've sent you. That's the 212 number, okay?
Okay.
So you'll be able to listen to that if you wish. All right. So, Mr. Cass, we've agreed that all the violations listed in exhibit number 21, in fact, do exist. Therefore, where do we go from here? I'm not going to replace the complaint because the complaint is, in fact, the operative document that we need to use, but I will replace attachment A, which is exhibit 1, with exhibit 21. So it'll now be exhibit 1 and 21 as our package of information that gets us here. All right. Let me make sure I understand which Ms. Swanson item that you are objecting to. So I'm back to exhibit number 1. So if we're on exhibit number 1, and I need you, I'm assuming it's the second one down where it says civil penalties in the following amounts for inspections at 146. Totaling 584, cost of the hearing at 1215, additional civil penalty for aggravating circumstances, the amount of 2,000, the requested total penalty then is 3799. Mr. Cass, have you agreed to a number on that, or at least are you proposing a number on that?
So I had in the stipulated agreement agreed to reduction of all penalties with the exception of the hearing costs at $1,215.
And that's the one you're objecting to, Ms. Swanson?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Cass, any response to that?
You know, and I'm not sure whether this works for the hearing office, but one thought I have is that we could impose that civil penalty for the cost recovery of the hearing to be imposed at the final deadline in the stipulated agreement, and Ms. Swanson would not have to pay that unless the violations were not corrected. So if she corrects all the violations, that civil penalty would not be imposed. So basically a delayed imposition of that penalty, I could agree to that.
Do you understand what Mr. Cass said?
Yes.
Are you agreeable with that?
Yes.
All right. So I have some understanding, what kind of timeline are we looking at here?
So, Mr. Frank, this is a, I've tried in the agreement to be very specific and staged about which violations Ms. Swanson needs to correct. Basically, on the 15th of each month, more violations need to be corrected. I've started with the most serious, fire life safety, moved on to less serious issues. But at the end of the day, everything needs to be corrected by October 15th. And that's the date that I would say the civil penalty of $1,215 would be imposed.
And Ms. Swanson, do you agree with that?
Yes.
Okay, you have the ability to do that.
Yes.
All right. How long did you want me to retain jurisdiction? Just
actually,
so I have an idea.
I requested that you retain jurisdiction for 6 months, and the reason for that is Ms. Swanson may be getting some help from nonprofit agencies to could help her do repairs. Those agencies have their own timelines, so it may be that I need to come back and adjust the timelines.
Okay. All right. Do you have any questions of me, Ms. Swanson?
No.
Do you have any questions, Mr. Cass?
I do not.
All right, let me explain then what the process is from here on out. And all right, here's what I'm going to do. We have outlined that all the violations exist. That's not going to be an issue. We've outlined that the remedies that will be granted with one change, and that is that the civil penalty for the $1,215 will be bumped back to the October 15th deadline. And that means that if you've done everything by October 15th of 2012, then the $1,215 will not be imposed. So if you do it, you're okay. If you don't do it, it won't. Let me tell you what I want to make sure is in the stipulated agreement, and that is that in the event October 16th, which is a Tuesday, 15th is a Monday, in the event October 16th comes and passes, in other words, your deadline is passed, I want to make sure that the stipulated agreement imposes the civil penalties requested in full in paragraph 2, not just the $1,215. I'm going to explain that to you.
Okay.
Okay. I want the stipulated agreement to include all of the civil penalties, which includes the aggravating circumstances and the additional amount of $2,000. I want that imposed if on October 16th it's not done. Okay. Ms. Swanson, what I'm telling Mr. Cass is that and the reason I asked you, can you get it done and are you capable of getting it done by October 15th, all these things under these timelines, is because I don't want to be unreasonable in giving you the amount of time necessary to get them done. I want to make sure they get done. But my goal here in my charge, from my perspective, what I'm supposed to do here is make sure that these violations are corrected in some way, shape, or form. So I am going to make sure that the stipulated agreement includes an incentive. And the incentive is that if you get it done, then none of the civil penalties in that paragraph, which I'm assuming are $3,799, you won't have to pay those, and you can use that money to get it fixed. That's my understanding. Is that correct, Mr. Cass? Okay. He's nodding yes.
I'm sorry. Yes.
All right. But what I don't want to happen is that you don't think there are consequences to inaction. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, as you've told me that you will do by October 15th, then there will be consequences. And the first consequence is civil penalty. The second consequence is that I want to make sure, Ms. Cass, that if in fact the fire life safety, health, and sanitation issues related to the interior of the property, if those are not corrected, 100% of those are not corrected, then I want to be able to order vacation.
How I've structured this agreement is that in fact there are deadlines of June 15th, July 15th, August 15th, September 15th, and October 15th. The penalty at each of those deadlines is a vacation.
All right. I want to make sure, and I want to explain from my perspective to Ms. Swanson, you really need to look at the stipulated agreement in great care before you sign it, number one. Number two is that you need to understand that there are consequences going to result if you don't do what you're supposed to do on a timely basis. One of the consequences is, according to Mr. Cass's comment just now, is that if you don't meet the fire life and safety violations per each 15th day of the month deadline, however it sets up, that the premises will be vacated. That means that that city basically will get an administrative search warrant. They will have a police officer usually with them or more. They will come out and literally physically make sure that everyone's out of the property. They will put boards on the windows and doors, and you will not have access. No one will have access to the property without city permission until the violations are corrected. That's a pretty serious thing. That is a really pretty serious thing. And what I'm trying to get across to you is that these deadlines and this agreement, creating these deadlines, is a very serious legal document for you. And you need to review it carefully. And if you need assistance, you may want to seek the help of an attorney, because these are one's money and money's money. And I know you don't make a lot of money based on your testimony every month, so you don't have money just flying around willy-nilly. But I think the more serious consequence here is the vacation, because all of a sudden, at least you and any other occupants of the property will have to be finding alternative suitable housing somewhere else. And the city isn't going to help you find any housing. They may help if there's legal tenants in the housing, but they ain't going to help you. So that's a really serious consequence, and I need you to keep that in mind. In addition, if in fact the property is vacated by the city, then any costs associated with that, in other words, is the cost of the wood, the cost of the nails, the cost of the labor to put it up, cost of additional inspections, all of those kinds of things, and potentially even the cost of relocating tenants, would become a lien against the property, will become a civil penalty against you and a lien against the property. And once again, that's a fairly serious thing. So, number one, read the document when you get it. Number two is, if you do sign it, you're going to be stuck with it, because I will incorporate that document as my order. And I may not be in the courthouse, and I may not have a roll bond, but I will tell you what, my order is enforceable through the circuit court, and it will make sure that it is done, whatever I say. And so I want you to be, number one, aware, and number two is I'm pleading with you, please be responsible on this, because if we get these violations corrected, you don't have to see me again. You don't have to hear of me again. You don't have to look at an agreement again. And so it's all done. Do you understand that?
Yes.
All right, do either of you have any questions at this point in time? All right, Mr. Cass, Ms. Swanson, what I expect of you is the following. By 4:30 p.m. on May 17th, that's next Thursday, by next Thursday, I will have received a fully executed, fully signed stipulated agreement. All right? So, no vacations, no going off, no. You must sign, somebody on behalf of the city must sign, and I must have it in this office, the fully signed original. I must have it by 4:30 on May 17th. If I don't have it, then I will issue an order finding that all the violations exist and granting all of the remedies requested. That includes the 1215 and all that kind of stuff. So I'm not telling you have to sign it. But if you don't sign it, the consequences are that you've admitted the violations, and the remedies are fairly straightforward in these kind of cases. So I will issue an order of my own rather than the stipulated agreement having the time frame. So you won't have the time frames. They'll be gone. I will simply put, you'll have 30 days and be done deal. All right?
So that this paper?
I asked Mr. Cass. I can't read that far.
The stipulated agreement is the paper that Ms. Swanson held up, and that's the one that, when Mr. Frank says that needs to be signed and in his office by May 17th, 4:30 p.m.
You're going to tweak that with the October deadline for the 1215, the civil penalty?
Yes, I am. Right, okay. Right. So what I think what Mr. Frank is saying is that actually I, based on what's happened here today, I have to make a few changes in the order. And I actually would, especially given what Mr. Frank has said, I would feel better if you took that home for a day or two, really read it, ask me any questions, ask legal advice, and then if you feel like you can still sign it, then we go ahead and sign it. So I've got to make a few changes on this today, and then I'll get you the agreement.
Does that make sense, Ms. Swanson?
Okay.
All right, so with that then, I'm going to ask, I'm going to admit exhibits 1 through and including 21 into the evidentiary record. On my own motion, I will admit the stipulated agreement into the record if it comes into the record and incorporate that into my order. My orders always are appealable to circuit court, which means you can go to get to a real judge with a real go through the whole nine yards and the security down there. That is a very legalistic process to appeal my order, and if you decide to do that, I would strongly recommend that you have legal counsel to assist you in that matter. With that, then, I'm going to close the oral portion of the hearing. I look forward to receiving the stipulated agreement from the parties. Thank you.